two broad umbrella terms, religious spirituality and contemporary spirituality. Now, we know that in the New Testament, both in the Gospels and in the Epistles, the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ, in their teaching and exhortations, made it abundantly clear that religiosity and biblical spirituality or true spirituality are two different things. There are so many people who are interested in spirituality. To them, that means religiosity. But true biblical spirituality is very different from that. That is why it is very important for us to know what does the Bible really say about true biblical spirituality. Now, one of the most religious or the most religiously committed groups during Jesus' time was the Pharisees. They were very committed to the law. They were very committed to Judaism. They were very ardent and very zealous to defend their faith in a very positive sense. But at the same time, they added so many things from their traditions and practices to the law, and they made it as a heavy burden, a yoke upon the people. And whenever they talked about spirituality, it was the religiosity which they have defined. And this has been a problem down through the centuries of the church in Christendom, in Christianity, in denominationalism, and sometimes we all might have fallen a prey to such temptations. So it is very important to know what is biblical spirituality. So in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ corrected the religiosity of the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people at large, and then clarified what is true spirituality. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ condemned their religiosity, their externalism, their legalism, and their ostentatiousness, that is, doing things to show to others and to impress others. For example, in the area of prayer, the Lord corrected them. The Lord said, when you pray, it is just religiosity, it is not true spirituality. When you fast, your fasting is again religiosity, it is not really pleasing to the Lord. When you give alms, charity, you know, that is again a manifestation of your religiosity. It is not the way the Lord really requires for you to do it. So the Lord said, you have heard it say. That means that is your theory, your theology that has been practiced for years. You have heard it, but I say unto you. So the Lord showed them the fatal failures of their religion. One of my friends who preached a series of sermons from the Sermon on the Mount titled it as Fatal Failures of Religion. And I really like that, you know, because that is what the Lord has been pointing at. Your fatal failures. What is true spirituality? Now, the same temptation can creep into our life also. That is in our externals, in the things which we do, trying to impress people, all these things, you know, and being active, because of our knowledge, because of our experience, because of being active, we think that we or our children are very, very spiritual. But that is not the understanding of spirituality in the Bible. Being active is good, praying is good, reading the Bible is good, always being, you know, in that dynamic spiritual life, that is always good. But we must clearly know what is spirituality. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, we studied in our first lesson that at the end, during the last days, people will have a form of godliness. You know, a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. So that is very possible for us also. That is, form of godliness. going through the motion, having a form, but no spiritual power, no spiritual strength, no transformation in our own life, and we are not able to impact others. And that is a common failure that can happen to you. It can happen to me. That is why the Old Testament concept, point number three, related concept to spirituality in the Old Testament, fear of God. The book of Proverbs begins with the fear of God, and the book of Proverbs ends with the fear of God. Ecclesiastes, you know, the book ends with the fear of God, because that is the sum and substance of Old Testament spirituality. In Old Testament theology, their spirituality is expressed in that one broad, wonderful, rich term, fear of God. So Solomon concluded his Ecclesiastes by saying that fear God, that is the whole duty of man. That is to know God and to live in submission to God, in reverential worship and adoration, and trusting and obeying and following Him in your personal life. That is the whole duty of man. Now, we will begin today in Psalm 12. Psalm 12, there is a beautiful verse related to the fear of God or godliness. In Psalm 12, verse 1, it is the psalmist's prayer, David's prayer. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Now, by way of application, don't you think that that is relevant to churches today, to assemblies today? That is, the godly man, the pious man, in New Testament terminology, it is the spiritual man. In Old Testament terminology, equivalent term, synonymous term was godliness or fear of God or piety. So David is weeping. He's saying that there are many, many people, active people, knowledgeable people, theologians, preachers, teachers, people who can coordinate and organize. I'm talking about the contemporary scenario of Christian churches in general, and maybe applicable to many assemblies too. But help, Lord, for the godly, those who are spiritually mature, spiritually committed, those who love the Lord and follow the Lord, and those who are powerful in their life, those who have reflect the authority of the Word of God in their life, those who can impact others, those whose personal lives are clean before God, those who are separated from sinful ways, those who are disciples of Christ, the godly men, they cease. We don't find them, for the faithful disappear. So David is praying. And probably it is a good thing for us to pray too. That is, Lord, let godly men increase in our midst. We need able men, but we need more of godly men. Many of you might have heard about Zane Hodges from one of the assemblies. He was a new professor of New Testament in Dallas Theological Seminary. He has not taught me, but I have been blessed by his ministry in various ways. But some of his students told me that, if you want to see godliness and scholarship together in one person, look at Zane Hodges. You know, more than one, a number of students and even some of the faculty members in Dallas Seminary have told me that, you know, godliness and biblical knowledge, scholarship together in one person, they say, it might have been true of many others, but Zane Hodges' name stands out in the minds of so many of his disciples and students. We need able men. We need knowledgeable people. We need, you know, people who can organize, who can do great and wonderful things, but coupled with godliness. Otherwise, there is no power. There is no impact in that ministry. So this must be a prayer, prayer of parents, that our children should know the Lord, love the Lord, and grow up as able men to minister the word and to do the Lord's work. That is fantastic. But more than that, they must be spiritually minded. They must have the spiritual power and able to transform lives, impact lives, make deep inroads into the lives of others, carry the authority of the word and the gospel with them. So that is a matter for us to pray. As an assembly, as a church, as families, it is a good thing that David prayed to echo that. Lord, help, there are no godly men. Raise up more godly men in our midst. That's a wonderful prayer. Now, last week, we looked at that word in pneumatico, spiritual. That is the, you know, the basic word for spirituality in the Bible. So what did we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? We will turn there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers. And what about the Corinthian believers? Look at chapter 1. Corinthian believers, chapter 1, verse 5. You were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. That is talking about their spiritual giftedness. It was a highly gifted church. You know, that whoever gets up and speaks, boy, that was a powerful communication of the word. They were blessed in all speech, utterance, and in all knowledge. We don't find a church like that, such a gifted church. Church of able men, able women, church with great potential. Look at verse 8, verse 7. So that you come short in no gift. Oh boy. Paul lists a number of gifts in chapter 12 in two places. He's saying, you come short in no gift. And eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. No scarcity of gifts, ability, knowledge. They are spiritual encyclopedias sitting in the Corinthian church. But see what Paul wrote to them. And I, brethren, chapter 3, could not speak to you as to pneumaticos, spiritual people. I cannot call you spiritual. You are believers. You are my fellow brethren, sisters. You are highly gifted. You are able. You can conduct meetings. You can organize things. You can be in leadership in many different ways. But I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. Why? I can only speak to you as carnal, men of flesh, even though they are believers, they are dominated by their carnality. Chapter 3, verse 1, last part, as to babes in Christ. Here you get the clue. See, people don't understand biblical spirituality in this way because we bring our ideas of spirituality always into our mind. But what is biblical spirituality? Here we read, it is spiritual babyhood. It is spiritual immaturity, lack of progress, lack of growth. And you are not able to spiritually manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And you are not able to effectively minister those gifts to others in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can make a lot of sound and noise and can do a lot of things, but nobody is really blessed by that. The reason is you are babes in Christ. So I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. Why? You are babes in Christ. The first biblical, theological clue on biblical spirituality. Biblical spirituality means biblical spiritual maturity, spiritual growth, spiritual discernment, fullness of the spirit, and the production of the fruit of the spirit from your life. It has something to do with pneuma, the Holy Spirit, controlling, dominating, filling, leading, directing, and helping us. Living under in submission to the Holy Spirit. Now, look at verse 2. Another mark of their unspirituality. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. I cannot teach you any deeper truths of God's word because you are not interested in it. You are not able to digest it. You are not able to enjoy it. You are in your babyhood. Verse 3. You are still carnal. You are controlled by your fleshly appetite. For there are envy. See, you are unspiritual. You are not spiritual. You speak in tongues and you exhibit all, different manifestations of the spirit through your spiritual gifts. All those things you have, but you are carnal. There are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and are you not carnal? It is very sad that even in many of our assembly circles, even they fight. Even they have party groups and politics, they think they are so spiritual because externally they are following certain things. Have you seen that? Paul is saying that you have envy, you have strife, you have carnality, you are behaving like men of the world. You are not spiritual. So what is biblical spirituality? The first clue, it is spiritual babyhood. It is spiritual immaturity. It is lack of spiritual growth and unable to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your behavior and no spiritual discernment. Come with me to a parallel passage where this idea is again elaborated by the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5. Now, Hebrews chapter 6 has the third warning passage in the book of Hebrews. And the third warning is about the lack of maturity. And the background of that instruction begins in verse 9 and 10. In 10, we read, called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 5:10. And then the writer is saying, of whom we have much to say. I want to tell you more about the priesthood of Christ. But in order to teach you more about the priesthood of Christ, I have to first teach you about Melchizedek. Verse 11, chapter 5, Hebrews. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now, in order to teach you more about the glorious high priesthood of Christ, first I have to teach you about Melchizedek. But I'm not able to do that because you are dull of hearing. Now, the word dull, very interesting word. Nothros in Greek means, it is derived of two words. One is no, the negative no, and the other word is push. That means you don't have any push. That means you don't have any appetite to move forward. You are slow. That is why in some translation you are sluggish. You are sluggish. You are slow, and you are not able to understand and appreciate the truth about Melchizedek or the deeper truths of Scripture. So it is this warning against their immaturity that leads them to the profound warning in chapter 6. So, it is in the light of spirituality, lack of spiritual growth, lack of spiritual maturity, lack of spiritual discernment. It begins with dullness to the word of God. No interest in the word of God. No interest in understanding, studying, knowing, and applying the deeper truths of God's word. So, look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. The writer is saying that some time have elapsed between your salvation and the present day in which he is writing. By this time, you should be Bible teachers. You need someone to teach you again the elementary first principles of the oracles of God. The first principles, you know, the elementary principles is actually, the word was used in Greek language for the alphabet, ABCs. You know, it was used in physics and science for the very basic principles of science or physics. So, you still can only understand ABC. By this time, you should be teachers. But you are lagging behind in your spiritual growth. Look at verse 12. You again, first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. The same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See how the Spirit of God clearly elucidates the concept of spirituality. 1 Corinthians 3, exactly the same thing. You are immature, you are carnal, you fight, there is envy. The reason is you are spiritual babes. No spiritual growth and maturity. You have not made use of the opportunities and the circumstances and the resources God has brought on your way. You have not. You are happy that you are born again, baptized, and in fellowship. That's all. That is the end of the story. But by this time, you ought to be teachers. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word, not accustomed to, as the New American Standard, or unskilled. The original word has the idea of inexperience, unpreparedness, incapable, or one commentator puts it that in light of the earlier verse, that word also has the shade of meaning of indigestion. So, if I give you steak, that will produce indigestion. You are inexperienced. You know, you don't have any digestive capacity in your metabolic system. And you cannot digest deeper truths. You are babes. And you are unskilled, inexperienced. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of teleon, full age. Those who have reached full age. So, what is biblical spirituality? You know, it is so sad that people don't understand biblical spirituality this way. Biblical spirituality is always connected to external things. I know my spiritual maturity and spirituality will have some outward manifestation, no doubt about that. But that is not the number one thing. The number one thing begins inside as the work of the Spirit of God, making me a pneumaticos, a spiritual man, growing in Christ through his word. And that affects my character, my conversation, my modesty of dress, all those things. It is not the other way, as people think, even in assemblies. That's what people think. You know, if you have all those outside things, then you are considered a spiritual man. And if you don't follow that norm which they have set, in some places they don't even give you the fellowship, the bread, the Lord's Supper. You are denied of that. There are assemblies like that today, even around the world. How sad that is. And they make such things a condition for baptism. How sad that is. You know, because it is all a total departure from the Word of God. That is not spirituality. Spirituality is a growing up and a grown up daily relationship with the Lord Jesus. Under the control and submission of the Holy Spirit, where He transforms you into Christ's likeness. And you become spiritually mature through your walk with the Lord and through the Word of God. And when you reach that maturity, that shows, that comes out from inside. Yeah, I don't want this. That's not good for me. Or I want to avoid certain things in my life. I don't want to be like others. Very good. But that has to come as a result of your spiritual maturity. Here we read, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He is bringing the next word there, discernment. So, full of age, maturity, spiritual progress, and spiritual discernment. Able to know good and evil. Yes. When we are spiritually mature, we will know which is good, which is bad. Which is holy, which is unholy. Which is righteous, which is unrighteous. Where I should go, where I should not go. What I should drink and what I should not drink. What I should wear and what I should not wear. That is all comes as a result of that spiritual discernment and maturity, not as a result of legalistic rules. That is religiosity. That is religiosity, fatal failures of religion. But spirituality is produced in us by the pneuma. It shows us piety, fear of God, and spiritual maturity. So 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Hebrews chapter 5 talks exactly the same thing and connects the spiritual concept of spirituality. Now in the following verses, we have the warning. The warning is because let us go on to perfection, maturity. That is how chapter 6. If you move on, if you do not move on to perfection, maturity, if you don't move forward, you will fall backward. And that backward fall will be terrible. Christian life is not static, it is dynamic. It has to be moving forward or you fall backward. Progression or regression, there is no neutral ground. That is what biblical spirituality teaches us. We will continue next week, shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the profound and amazing truths of the Word of God that is illuminated in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Many a times we disregard such things and we bring our own ideas.